This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Like I always say, I accept this with fear and trembling, trusting God to make the grace available to represent that which the Holy Spirit has put in His heart for this time. Hallelujah. Amen. And my friend, Pastor Ade, the wise man. I've been learning from him. Amen. I also want to salute all our brethren in Croydon, Canary Wharf, and North London that are part of you are a part of what is going on here, and for every molecule of the grace of God that is released, it will appear anywhere you are viewing from. And even those that are participating on YouTube, you are most welcome to be part of what God is doing. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning. We ask that you cause us to navigate into your heart, that each and every one of us will understand the rhythm that is seated on your heart concerning our lives and this season, and that you will make your grace available by your Spirit, as we might find what it needs to prosecute your heart cry to the glory of your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Turn your Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 5. We'll do Bible study for 30 minutes, I believe. I don't seem to be able to discern where the... All right, so I like that. I like what you are doing, okay? Matthew chapter 5, we'll begin to read from verse number 17. These are the words of Jesus, and you'll find them in red, just in case you have a red letter Bible. Hallelujah. Think not that I am come to destroy the law, all the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. The perspective of ranking in this scripture is from heaven's vista, right? Not from earth's analysis. It's from heaven's perspective. Now, Jesus begins to reveal the place of government. You see, the system that was operational in the Old Testament was called the system of the law. And the idea of the law is an outlet through which the authority of God can be made manifest. Because if God cannot exercise his authority, he cannot fulfill his divine purpose. For instance, if there is someone on the streets that you find, and maybe God opens your eyes to see that the individual was ordained to be a mighty evangelist that will bring revival to Europe. And if by any means this would be evangelist has not yet met with Jesus, there is no basis upon which God can exercise his authority over the life of that individual, even though his destiny is valid, his ordination is valid, there is no basis of fulfillment if God cannot exercise his authority over his life. Now, so the idea of government is a system by which God can exercise his authority towards the actualization of his divine purpose. And if God doesn't have as much as that outlet, his purpose concerning your life will never come to pass. So he reveals the law as a system of achieving government. That's the context. You see, when we go into the New Testament arrangement, Jesus is trying to make us understand that the standards of God are not reduced in the New Testament arrangement. In fact, if you study the New Testament properly, you will find out that the New Testament situation is more difficult to accomplish than the Old Testament situation. For instance, in the Old Testament, if you looked upon a woman lustfully, it was not a crime. So you could lust. There was no charge for lust. And may the Lord give you understanding. Amen. But you see, in the New Testament, you will find Jesus operating, especially in the book of Matthew, in the capacity of a lawgiver, and he seems to modify the position of the law and entrench greater depth, which makes it more difficult to accomplish in the flesh. And the reason for which he had liberty to do as much is because in the New Testament, God makes the resources available for you to have capacity to prosecute his will. Now, the problem with the Old Testament arrangement was that God revealed his ways, revealed his requirements, but he never provided any support by which you could find capacity to fulfill the things God expected. The entire arrangement of the Old Testament is to bring us to a point of humility where we understand that we are incapacitated in as regards furnishing the expectations of God. Then when you are in that state of humility, if God decides to provide a solution to your problem, each and every one of us will jump at it. So the Old Testament situation is to bring us to a point of absolute humility, to acknowledge our incapacity and our insufficiency, so that we will wait on God for grace. You see, in grace, the law is not adjusted. In grace, the requirements of God are not adjusted, but God supplies the empowerment for us to be able to live up to the expectation that God requires of us. So the subject that is unveiled here is the subject of government. And you will notice, are you with me? According to the presentation in Scripture, the individual that qualifies to actually instruct men in the issues, in the things of the operational system of God's government over our hearts, are individuals that have walked under the influence of that government themselves. Are you there? Please, stay with me. The presentation is going to be a bit complex at some point, so just stay with me. It says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments. It means this guy does not recognize the government of God that is enshrined in the word of God. He doesn't recognize it. So he lives outside of the influence of this government. And because of that state of lawlessness, he might also become an instructor to encourage men also to forfeit that government. The Bible says, just in case there is someone in the kingdom of God that sustains this posture, that individual is going to be least in the kingdom of heaven. I just want to draw our attention to the fact that in the kingdom of heaven, there is rank. There are actually 12 things about the kingdom of heaven. And it will interest you to know that only Matthew mentioned that phrase in the entire Bible, kingdom of heaven. And Matthew mentions it 33 times, making Matthew the book of the kingdom. Yeah, yes. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not the same. All right? So Matthew sees Jesus as a king, so it's a textbook for the kingdom. And it shows us how kingdom people operating under God's government relate with other people, how kingdom people operating under God's government relate with money, financial matters, how kingdom people relate with everything that is in the ecosystem of this region of our pilgrimage, and how we are supposed to relate accurately under the influence of the government of God. The definition of accurate Christianity can actually be found in the book of Matthew, as I realized through my studies. According to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, which is supposed to be a documentation of the kingdom lifestyle. Oh, I'm threatened by time. It's a documentation of the kingdom lifestyle, how people under the rule of heaven are supposed to order themselves upon the face of the earth. And we have a grand and executive summary for this matter. That a kingdom man, a kingdom woman, is supposed to be mercifully kind towards others. That is, in relating to others, we relate from a standpoint of great mercy. Because the world is falling. A kingdom man is supposed to be secretly pure towards God. Not a public display of the psychology of purity, but a secret intercourse, a secret level, a secret loyalty to God. So see, a kingdom man is willing to be viewed in a bad light just because he wants to keep and contain his communion with God. He is willing to risk that people see him in the wrong perspective just because he has something going with God he cannot lose. Are you with me? Now notice this guy, Joseph. Potiphar's wife was making an advance towards Joseph. There was nobody in the room. Right? And we were never told that Potiphar had a son, a child. It was as if barrenness was looming in the household. And if that guy had something to do with that woman, she would have pressed for adoption. And that would have meant that this guy would have cleaned out. But you see, the psychology of Joseph was that he preferred to be in alignment with God than to be in alignment with Potiphar's wife. So you will find out that the secret of Joseph's life was that God was with him because he made a choice to deliberately align with God. So even when he went to prison, the Bible said he prospered. Have you heard that a prisoner prospers? Now, you are not aware that there are different ecosystems in the prison. The ecosystem he found himself because God was with him. Meanwhile, the first miracle was that when Potiphar discovered or the allegation of rape came to Potiphar's hearing, instead of ordering an execution, he sent him to prison. He was bought for money. And then he goes as far as touching his own. No, I will not send him to prison. I will not send him. So he sent to prison, which is an indication of the fact that God was with him. He went to prison. Instead of him doing hard labor, he became a supervisor because God was with him.
See, so he was willing to be secretly pure in the eyes of God. So mercifully kind toward others, secretly pure toward God, and righteously strict towards himself. Yeah, that's the description of Christianity in the book of Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7. Meanwhile, the reason why I read this scripture, I felt this was the clearest scripture in the entire Bible that seems to present the fact that there is ranking in the kingdom of God. And you will know that the major undercurrent of the ranking that is captured in these three scriptures that we just read is alignment under the government of God. Because that's the only way God can accomplish his divine purpose through your life, when you allow him exercise his authority over your life. So there is ranking in the kingdom of God. Please help me tell your neighbor, we are not the same. So all our brethren in Croydon, we are not the same. Our brethren in Canary Wharf, we are not the same. We are not the same. We operate from different orbitals in the realm of the spirit. So my message this morning is to show us how to gain mileage in the spirit, how to gain rank, how to advance in the progression that is intended in order for you to rise in the rankings that are captured in the realm of the spirit. Now, the approach I'm going to use is symptomatic. We'll check the symptoms that find expression in the life of a man that has rank. And then we'll use that to describe what it takes to arrive at that point. Okay, let us start from Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. I came with a catalog, but I think we'll just do one. We'll just do one. Mark chapter 3. We'll just do 1 point. Mark chapter 3. We'll read from verse number 14. We'll just take the verse of interest. Mark chapter 3, verse 14. And he ordained 12 that there should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. He ordained the 12. He picked out the 12 deliberately. He picked them out intentionally. Are you there? That they might be with him. The first sign of someone that has experienced an increase in rank is that there is a higher dimension of authority. So I need to explain this scripture. Authority. He ordained the 12. He chose them intentionally. He chose them independently. And the reason for which he chose them, he made it public to them that you guys are going to be with me. So the job description of these 12 he ordained is to be with him. All right? That's the job description. Then you will notice that in terms of sending, that he might send them forth to preach. The word used is might, meaning that that's a probability. That may not be in view. So it is a man, a functionary that has been sent, that needs to be given delegated authority to represent the one that sent him. So you see, authority in the kingdom is intimacy based, is intimacy based. You were supposed to be with him, and if you have been with him and he decides, maybe he has an errand, he gives you the authority to represent him, to function in the capacity of representing his interest, representing his perspective, representing his strategy. If you have never been with him, you will not know how he does his things. So just in case we see a higher dimension of the authority of God, it means that in previous errands that you were sent, you were faithful. So God is now giving you more rank because he wants to keep sending you. So authority, kingdom authority, spiritual authority. How I wish I had 15 minutes to demonstrate authority. Okay, I think we can factor 15 minutes into this arrangement. Hallelujah. It's just like going to a restaurant and then you place an order. You meet a waiter there. The waiter was there before you showed up. The real reason why the waiter is paid is for him to wait. So whether you come or not, he's already doing his job. His job is waiting. So it is when you now show up that he's now released to carry out another assignment other than the primary assignment, which is to wait. He's paid to wait. He's paid to stand with a bow tie and smile. If there is nobody in the room, he's still smiling. And at the end of the day, he will be paid, even if you show up or not, because his job description is to wait. That's the arrangement in this case. You will learn how to endure the presence of God until you learn how to enjoy it. Yeah, it will erode you so much that you start liking it. And it will interest you to know that because of the fallen nature, none of us naturally likes the presence of God. It is the Spirit of God that is resident on your inside that likes the presence of God, not your flesh. And as you are striving to align with the presence of God, to be acquainted with the glory of God, you will find something so difficult. The first system that the flesh has put in place to ensure that you do not maximize your proximity to the presence of God is a certain kind of haste that is locked on your soul. Now, a lot of people come for prayer meetings. And I found, after organizing prayer meetings for decades, I found that 70% of the people that come for prayer meetings don't even pray. They do something like prayer, and it will pass for prayer for an onlooker. But the guy had this haste in his soul. There's a haste there. And because of that haste, he did not really surrender. So all of that was an activity in the flesh. Yes, because he did not go past that haste that is in the soul. And that's why most people cannot lock up and say, okay, for today, I'm off work. I'm going to stay with God. That haste will haunt you. Oh, you will now discover that as logically easy as it sounds to be in the presence of God, most of us cannot endure it. And that is the reason why we have a decline in the number of men that have genuine authority from God. Because we don't like staying with him. When you conquer that haste that is in your soul, then you will now discover the power of prayer. The power of prayer is dependent on the amount of yourself you give. It's not what you are doing. How much of yourself is in it? Because if what you are doing doesn't have the capacity to affect your heart, it cannot change your life. Something else that the devil does. Are you still following? I know you will not say amen anymore. But in my own opinion, okay, I may not be right, so I won't say that. Any believer whatsoever can operate fluently in the prophetic. Because if you begin to endure the presence of God and go beyond the barricades that Satan puts in place to protect you from the presence, right? If you go beyond it, God will look for a way to communicate with you. When his spirit breathes upon your spiritual senses, he will enliven them because it is your spirit that can hear him. It's your spirit that can contact him. It's your spirit that can receive from him. It's your spirit that can know him. Are you there? Do you know what it means to exercise your spirit? Do you know how long it takes for your spirit to rise? Because the person that you came to meet is not in the realm of the soul. He's not operating from the second heavens. Because Satan operates from the second heaven and his talmark is your soul. And that's why he involves in a lot of investment in mind bending to sell his deception and to turn your heart away from God. But you see, if you survive the obstacle and you go beyond the barricade and you travel into his presence, if you are right there and he wants to interact with you, he's the one that will make you know him. All right, it's not your desire to know him that sells in that place. It's the one that comes to help you know him, because that's his obsession. He wants you to be intimate. He wants you to find a treasure that is in his presence that you will not find in Canary Wharf. There's a treasure there, and you cannot but your knowledge of this treasure is going to be experiential, and that's why there's soulish knowledge, the type you got from Cambridge. All of that knowledge was sown on the soil of your soul. But there is spiritual knowledge. You don't get it because you stumble on the library or you attended a lecture, sat before a professor. It comes because it is handed out. That knowledge is not commonplace. It's not something you can learn. It's not something you can be taught. It comes by the knowing of revelation. When you pass the barricade, and then you discover that you have compartments that you have not explored. There are chambers within you that have never been opened, that are lying fallow. Now, you see, except we know how vast your island is, you might not know how much of God you need to suck in. That guy, the madman of Gadara, he said, "My name is Legion because we are many." The word legion is a Roman military terminology, which means 2,000 to 12,000 soldiers. So at least there were 2,000 demons locking around the man's ecosystem. You are a vast island. Oh my. You don't know how much of God's presence you need to suck in for you to find your center of gravity. Many of you are still scratching, but you have not entered. You are still knocking. You have not gained entrance into that space. And that's why we do not carry much weight from the heavenly dimension. It will cost you. Yes, it will cost you. You know, just to stay around God, you cultivate it with a very strong will. Sometimes when you are sorrowful, it's easier for you to enter because you are not thinking about the things. The possibility of mind bending is less. So many people crawl into God's presence. They come to deal with God more because there's an unfortunate situation. It was not intended to be that way, but if it's going to happen that way, God can allow it. It's when there's a heartbreak. Love has been going on, and Jesus has been shouting, "Danger!" But nobody cares to listen. And then suddenly, there's a break. Then the person now goes flat. See, I've been crying out. I was saying something. You could not listen. It must not be that way. We should be able to cultivate the culture of coming into his presence and staying in his presence until the king. Because you might even go for 3 days dry fasting. You know, we were taught by our mentors that if you go for dry fasting 3 days, that's the almighty formula of seeking God. So I said, "Geez, that's great. I happen to have a strong will. If I say I won't eat, I won't eat. If I said I will not sleep, I will not sleep." Yes, so, and it is not a gift. I was born that way, all right? So I stayed without food for 3 days and I didn't hear anything. So I said, "This is your formula." That was when I discovered that God is a king. He's not subject to formulas. Yes, he's not subject to formulas. He might decide that for 12 days he won't show up because he's a king. Even if you cry, your tears don't move him. Yeah, so you must learn what the Bible calls waiting on the Lord because he is king. The only reason why he moves is because he decides to move. And you must understand that protocol. You must build it into your expectation that he will only show up when he wants to show up. And if you are foolish enough not to argue with the protocol, then he begins to show you great and mighty things that you do not know. He breathes upon your heart furnishing substance, and then he gives you capacity to touch things that your physical senses cannot discern. That's when your lessons in the school of the spirit begins. He called the 12. He ordained the 12 that they might be with him. Hallelujah. That they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, send them forth to represent him. We need God. God needs men to represent him in every sphere of human endeavor. But the people that are standing for him have not been with him. So they don't know the way he intends to implement his policy. So he doesn't endorse us. We want to travel for 2 minutes. All right, so we want to travel for 15 minutes. I want us to touch something. Now, stay with me. Are you with me? Stay with me. You see, the spirit realm is not somewhere, right? Maybe we need to travel a distance. No. Cancel distance from that equation. The spirit realm is here. It's here. Now it's here. You don't need distance to get to the realm. The only thing about the realm is that it is seated in another dimension. It's not in this dimension. There is a different frame of reference where those realities are captured. Are you with me? Oh, you're not with me. You know, stay with me, stay with me. There's another frame of reference. It's here, but you can't access it except you are in league with the custodian of the realm. The Bible says we have not received a spirit which is of this world, but a spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. It is this spirit that can give us access into the realm. Hallelujah. Now, the point is this. If it is the Spirit of God that gives us access into the realm, how does a spirit, how does he function? How does a spirit being operate? What does a spirit being want? You will learn all these things experientially when you are with him. The first thing I need to tell you quickly as I round up is that a spirit being wants to own you completely. You see, it is only through the vessels that are under the power of the spirit being that the spirit being can have advertisement, can have publicity. So, for instance, if you are not completely yielded to God, maybe you are yielded to some other things apart from God. You have given God like 15%. So other things have their place and all of that. The story that is being told through your life will not be clear. Because our life in the spirit is a story that God is telling from heaven. So when you walk in the spirit, heaven is telling a story through your life. When you walk in the flesh, the channel has changed. Because what your spirit infrastructure is to God is what your flesh is to the devil. The flesh is the conductor of satanic abilities. Are you there? It's a talmac that Satan will land on if he wants to begin to orchestrate his intentions through your life. So who is telling the story of your life? Who is telling the story? Is it God that is telling his story? The story of David What God told throughout his lifetime was the compatibility between worship and warfare. That was a story that was told through the life of David. That was the epistle that was written through his life and times. And it was a clear story, because David walked in the spirit enough for this story to come out in full. So the point is this: what story is being told through your own life? If you can't get a clear story through your life, it means you are so much in the hurry. You have not been with him. You have not been with him. And there are dimensions of kingdom authority and ranking that you'll be denied because you have not stayed enough. There is a story that God wants to tell through your life. Please help me preach to your neighbor. There is a story that God wants to tell through your life. It will take consistency. It will require you absolutely devoting yourself to him so that he possesses you in full. Then your life will be an expression of a will, a wisdom that has been concealed in himself since the foundation of the earth. Your life will reveal that wisdom to your generation. If you forget everything, don't forget that your life in the spirit is a story that God is telling from heaven. So he needs to suck you in. He needs to take full possession of you. He must be the one in control of you in order for that story to come out clean. That this is what God is saying through this vessel. That his life and times were spent to reveal this story. Because Jesus himself told the story of John, the spiritual story that heaven was telling through the life of John. He said, John the Baptist, he was a burning and a shining light. That was his story. Heaven told that story through John. Burning and shining. He had light and heat at the same time. What's your story? Have you been there long enough for your story to become clear? When your story becomes clear, then he sends you. He puts upon you authority and says, go for me. Speak for me. Stand for me in the banking world. And fight against the demons in the economic war front. Oh my. He seeks men to put grace upon. But the point is this. The story is not consistent in your vessel. And that's why if he empowers you now, he won't know what you will preach. Your life will preach something that may adorn the kingdom of darkness much more than the kingdom of God. That may extend the influence of the kingdom of darkness much more than the kingdom of God. Your life in the spirit is a story that God is telling from heaven. Hallelujah. And he ordained the 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach. Should be, that's the job description. Sending them forth is optional. So if you get busy with sending forth, all right, and you don't know that your primary assignment is to be with him, you will tell another story in the marketplace, which is not the story that God is telling through your vessel. He ordained the 12 that they might be with him. Before we travel, will you spend 5 minutes to travel? I want you to bow your heads briefly, because it's a time of assessment, personal assessment. Personal assessment. Do you really know what it means to be with him? Have you been practicing his presence? Deliberately detaining yourself in his presence so that he is at liberty to rebuke your anger. He's at liberty to rebuke your lack of commitment in church. He's at liberty to rebuke your giving life that you've not been paying tithes. Do you afford him that opportunity? Does he have that place of reverence before your face that you go to get your scorecard on a daily basis from his presence and to ask him to print out a description of your compliance to kingdom demands? Are you that man that he can send to stand in the marketplace that will not compromise because of that deep intercourse you have with him in the secret place? And he ordained the 12 that they might be with him. Commune with him. Allow your life run on the scale of his assessment. Let the light of his glory beam into your heart. Afford him the opportunity to pick out inconsistencies, lack of compliance. Because many more times we are more concerned about our own things. We need a new job. Promotion is delayed and all of that. And we do not give him his due. Oh my God. Will you allow him come into the room and point out this aspect of your life that you've been protecting from visibility, protecting from scrutiny? And just in case you are in this place this morning and you actually know that Jesus is not yet your Lord, not yet your Savior, you are not saved, and as I preached the gospel, you felt as though the Holy Spirit was knocking at the door of your heart, seeking an opportunity to come revive your life, renew your life, and save your soul. If you are here this morning and you want to turn your heart over to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm tired of going in circles. I want to cut covenant with you. I want to walk with you. If that's what you're saying, right there where you are seated, I'd like you to stand on your feet. If you are saying, Lord, I want to turn my heart over to you, don't consider the presence of the person you came with, person sitting by your side. If you are saying, Lord, I want to turn my heart over to you, I want to walk with you, I want you to forgive me my sin, just stand on your feet with your right hand on your chest as I lead you to him. If there's anybody in this place that is saying, I want to turn my heart over to you, just take a step of faith. Stand on your feet. The Lord wants to do business with you. He wants to walk out great things through your life. Stand on your feet. Yes, thank you, my sister. Are the ushers, please put a slip in the lady's hands. I'm still waiting for someone that needs to make that decision. Lord, I'm willing to turn over my heart. I want to walk with you. I want it to begin today. I want the story of my life to be a clear story, a straight story. The epistle that you are writing through my life to my generation. Hallelujah. So sister, you are the back, say, Lord Jesus, I come into your presence and I ask for mercy. Forgive my sins. Write my name in the book of life. Give me the ability to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. One of our counselors will reach out to you at the end of the service, and we will have a brief talk about how your journey in the Lord is going to continue. Can we do 2 minutes? Can we travel for 2 minutes?
We're going to travel in the spirit. I want you to touch him. You can actually touch him. Oh, Jesus. I cobela nis avama. There is a place he's inviting you to function. Because if he cannot touch your heart, if you cannot be vulnerable in his presence enough for him to touch your heart, he cannot change your life. If God is going to walk through your vessel, then your heart must be his. When Jesus rose from the dead, he did not conceal his wounds. He showed his wounds to his disciples. Can you be vulnerable? Can you search with your heart? Can you search with your heart? Forget about your neighbor. If you have not mastered this, I advise you close your eyes. If you have not mastered this, I advise you close your eyes so that it will be to you like it was for Adam in the Garden of Eden, in the cool of the day when God came to visit with him. I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. There is no other thing I live for. I live for you to do your will, to serve your will. I am yours. No strength of my own, no wisdom of my own, no ability of my own. Any strength I have in the flesh is weakness, is deception. My strength is in you, for it is written, the Spirit of God, he helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for the saints in groanings that cannot be uttered. I am yours. Yenamo sovelana yenamo izanaile. Maya koseo ine lamo saina helamo ke lahame heria se koprema aila mena mamo selaya ine lamo samore kasima yera ikane baburo. Saine ke samole, oh, ime lamo, sayala kole se lama, yesa mumure, kaime se koma ye mama, ye mame, ye mamo, ye maye. I see a pair of spectacles. A pair of spectacles in the spirit. And the Lord reveals to me that there is one of us in this congregation today that has been seeking his face for a long time, but the feedback has been minimal, so that they can test how desperate you are to lay hold on his reality. So what he's doing now, because you tarried faithfully, he brings a spectacle, which is the grace that will make you see into the realm of the spirit and discern the things he's doing when you pray. There's an anointing that is coming into this room, and this anointing will come in the next 21 seconds. Someone will be anointed. And the reason for the anointing is so that you can begin to discern, see into the realm of the spirit. Your times with God, your moments with God will no longer be quiet moments. There'll be moments of encounters, moments of reality. You will see what God is doing. And there's a, oh my God. Yes, so be now. Yeah, na Yeko meze. Is an island. If your spiritual eyes ever opens up, you will know that the presence of God is not boring. It's not a waste of time. Oh, I sense the angel of the Lord coming through the right hand corner of the auditorium. It's coming so strong. It's coming so strong. You will find that in the presence of God, there is always breaking news. There is always something God is saying. Oh my God. It will be a time that you look forward to, because it will not be blank. It will not be dark. God will give you the grace to see what he's doing. Oh my God. He calls you to come. He calls you to come. There is somebody in our midst. Now let me tell you a little story. When God wants to raise a prophet, there is a commitment he makes, because a prophet doesn't only speak for God. God is committed to revealing himself to the prophet first by terrible things and righteousness, things that will blow your mind, things that are not in tandem with your logic. That there's a prophet among us that is being brewed. It's being brewed. And God is making a commitment that he will begin to reveal himself to you. Oh my God, he'll begin to reveal himself to you. So the hand of God will rest. The hand of God will rest on you. It will rest on you. Jesus. Ooh. Ooh. He will come to you to display himself. So that when you get out there and you meet an obstacle, you will know no obstacle is as big as like what you saw in the closet, in the secret place. I ask, oh God, that you might cause your hand to rest upon these ones that you are beginning to raise to understand the things of the Spirit, upon these ones that you have made this investment. Oh, the hand of God is stronger, is stronger, is stronger. Holy Ghost. I'm seeing someone with a hearing problem. A hearing problem. And from what I see, one of your ears hears better than the other. So if you are the one I'm talking about, you have a hearing problem, one of your ears hears better than the other, please be upstanding. You have a hearing problem. A hearing problem. One of your ears hears better than the other ear. Is that mommy? You? All right, so can you? Okay, yeah. Now, maybe someone will help me because I want to demonstrate authority. You know, yeah, we have some time. I want to demonstrate authority. Okay? And there are diverse types of authority. Let me demonstrate the one on my life. Hey! So I will demonstrate authority. Now this is what is happening. The angel is touching me here. There is someone. He anoints me here. There's someone being anointed as I speak. Yeah, he's been anointed. The person has been anointed now. He's touching me because he's anointing someone. All right. You know, like I told you. Hey. When you dwell with him, one of the evidences is that he sends you to represent him. Now, in this sending, he equips you. He equips you with authority so that it will be evident that he sent you. Okay? He equips you with authority so that everyone that he sends you to will know that you came from. All right? Now, so we are going to... I'm going to exercise that authority in this hearing issue. But before I do that, I have 9 minutes. I would like the... Can you give them a microphone to describe their condition? Then we'll now exercise the authority. We have 2 minutes to accomplish that. Then 5 minutes for my prayer. Then 2 minutes for feedback. And that's 9 minutes. Okay? Yes, can you tell us the condition and for how long have you been in that condition, please?
I had about, I think about 10 years.
10 years. So which of your ear hears better?
The left one.
The left one hears better. Is the right one?
The right one.
Is it deaf?
No. The left one, it doesn't hear properly. But this one, the right one, it hears.
Okay, so we've heard from mommy. The right one hears. The left one doesn't hear properly. Okay? We'll hear from her too.
Yes. I actually have to hear. To wear a hearing aid.
You have, okay, she came with her hearing aid. Wow, there are different types
amplifier.
These days. Now, this one is so, it can be concealed. You not even know. And some of them are so fine, that's why they don't want to take them off. So she has a hearing aid. You use it on which of the ears?
Well, I've got two, but...
Two?
But I use it mostly...
For...
On this. On this one.
All right, so now, I'm going to exercise authority, okay? I'm going to exercise authority. Don't worry, I'll give you, the Lord wants to give you something, don't worry. But this is my lecture. I need to finish my lecture first before we talk about what the Lord wants to give. Now, so you follow this instruction. Can you follow the instructions? This is the, you're going to take this finger, use it to block the ear that cannot hear, yeah? Block it completely so that you can't hear anything from it. Have you done that? Okay? Now, let me tell you something about authority. One of the outlets through which we release authority is the spoken word, a command. So I will just give a command, okay? Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We give you praise because of your faithfulness, because of your kindness, because of your love, because of your tender mercy. And this very moment, I bind every deafening spirit. deafening spirits, be bound. I say, be bound. Be bound. Come out of the ears in the name of Jesus. I break your yoke. I destroy your power. And I command the ears. Ear. Hear. Ear. Hear. Ear. Hear. Ear. Hear. In Jesus' name. All right, so you take this off. And then you use this one to block the one that hears. Completely. Yeah, take that one. If you are sitting close to them, help them test the ears. Quickly. Block completely. Completely. Is there anyone there? Yeah. Help. Jesus Christ. I say help test. No, no, no. Test the ear. Test. Say something. Can you speak? Speak. Yeah. So, now she can hear now. This lady can hear. You can hear?
I can hear better.
Okay. Come, come. This is practical. This is, you know, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is not in words. It can be demonstrated. Kingdom things can be illustrated by kingdom utensils. Okay, now. So now, I want to give you what the Lord has been offering you all this while. Did you hear that?
Yes, yes. I can hear. Yeah. I can hear.
I want to bless her. I want to bless mommy, okay? And I need, okay, 4 minutes. We have 4 minutes. I need 1 minute to know how to bless her. Don't claim you know anything. Just ask him. You see, if the proof that you have been in the closet is that you like asking him questions. What am I going to say? How am I going to do? You just say it inside. Because you already have something. It's currency. There's no greater wisdom than to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost. So we want to ask him in 1 minute. What happened here?
I was having trouble with my ears.
You see, she was not, I wasn't even, she was, see, they are healed. And I wasn't. What happened to you?
Yeah, I've had trouble with my ears for quite a while now. Sometimes I don't always hear, but now it's a bit clearer.
You know, in the practical, we were just working with two of our mummies, and I didn't know there were other people that were doing private practice. It was... No, come here. Ah, you know what I see here? There's a promotion here. I want to move you into it. Huh? You are close to a promotion, but I want to see what I can do so that you can be moved. Oh, Jesus Christ. Can we? Let's help this sister. She can. We can help her. Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name. Okay. Okay, your heart is right. Lord, today we ask that you release her into it. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. Go. You will see what will happen in a few weeks time. Yeah. Someone was also doing private practice. So what happened to you?
So I've had the problem with my right ear where it just, sometimes it just blocks and I can't hear. So this morning when I woke up, this ear was, it was blocked again. And I was thinking, oh, but I'm coming to church. I wanted to hear the word powerfully today. So I was worried I wouldn't be able to hear properly. So as you mentioned it, I stood up at the back. And yeah.
You can hear now. Oh.
Yeah, you know what? You will not experience the block again. Because it's a compliment. Now we need vocabulary, we need words to know how to pray for mommy. So we'll do that for 30 seconds. For 30 seconds. Lord, help us. Help us. Help us. Help us. Okay. You know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing one angel standing by your side, another one standing here. So I was wondering why that was happening. And I was shown your legs. Do you experience pains? Yes. So the prayer is for healing for her legs. Don't claim you know anything. Just ask him. That's the joy of one that knows the presence. You can always call him and ask. Call him and ask. And then you will discover that you will make only 0.00% mistakes. You always get it right. Only a few times that you get it wrong. And those times are the times you become overconfident. I understand. Then you say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Makes me lie down in green pastures. Leads me beside the sea waters. Restores my soul. Leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Then he said, yea, he tried it himself. Yea, when he walked by himself without the Lord's leading, he ended in the valley of the shadow of death. May the Lord help us not to be wise. In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, give life to our legs. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.